You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
All right. Well, Father, I just thank you for this series going all in, and I thank you for a powerful wrap up today. I thank you, Father, that it is really a supernatural thing that we can participate in your kingdom, that your kingdom is within us. Your kingdom is our reality, Father. And you told us to seek first the kingdom, and that when we do that, life would supernaturally work out. And so, Father, I just pray today that as I'm speaking, that you would speak through me, and that, Father, great revelation would come forth regarding your kingdom, regarding the priority of your kingdom, and the way that we can step into the supernatural life that you have preordained for each of us to live. I thank you, Father, that you know everything about us. You know not only the number of hairs on our head, but you know everything about our heart. You know every thought that we think. You know every emotion that we feel, because you experience life as us. And it is your intention that we experience life as you, that we partner with you, that we co-create with you, that we become the branch that is attached to the vine that bears much fruit through our union with you. I thank you, Father, that you desire to do exploits through us. In fact, you said that your eyes are running to and fro across the earth, looking for someone that you can show yourself strong through. And I just thank you that we're raising our hands today, Father, and we're saying, hey, pick me, pick me. We are ready. We are ready for exploits. We are ready to co-govern the planet. We are ready to discover and fulfill our purpose. We are ready to fully surrender our bodies as living sacrifices and yield our minds and our emotions and our frequency to you. And we thank you that as we do that, I thank you that you show up mightily in our lives. But not just, external to us, but through us, Father. You are operating through us. You're operating as us. And I thank you, Father, that signs and wonders are following us. So I just thank you for the supernatural life that Jesus died for us to experience because we're one with you. Thank you for the abundance that is our inheritance in Christ. And I just bless this podcast. I bless everyone that's going to be watching and listening. And I just bless them, Father, with enlightened eyes so that they would know the hope of their calling. I bless them with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you so that they would walk in the same level of intimacy that Jesus enjoyed when he had his time in an earthly body on this earth. And I just declare all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you guys, it is time to wrap up our Going All In podcast. And I hope that you have enjoyed this series so far. I know I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from you. And from what I've been hearing, it's been a word like right on time for a lot of you, that it's been really encouraging and just spot on for the things that you guys are walking through in this season. And I also just kind of wanted to mention here that, you know, last week I did the word of the month for September, and I really felt like that it just flowed right with this series. So if you haven't listened to that word of the month for September, make sure that you do. You can watch it always in the Path to Purpose on Demand in that Facebook group, or obviously it's out on the podcast and you can watch it there or listen to it there. So let's dive in. Throughout this series, we have been using Matthew 6:33 as our foundation scripture. So I want to kick off with that scripture again this morning, just to get us on the same page and remind us of what we've been talking about. Again, the title of the series is Going All In, and it's directly tied to this, you know, popular scripture that I'm sure we've all heard from Matthew 6:33. And so I'm just going to read it in the New King James Version this morning. It just says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, all these things that this scripture is referring to is pretty much every single need that we would ever have in our earthly life. In fact, the scripture before it says, let me just go to 31. It says, therefore, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Verse 32, it says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. So verse 33 begins with a but. It's saying, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So really what Jesus is talking about here is he's talking about the supernatural provision that belongs to us in Christ, that is a part of our kingdom inheritance. And when we are living with our focus and our priority on the kingdom, well, guess what? Life supernaturally works out, meaning that we are supernaturally provided everything that is needed for us to operate in our kingdom purpose and fulfill our kingdom assignments. You know, I've told people for years, you know, it's not about finding a job. It's about working an assignment, that in the kingdom, we are given assignments. And the topic of this podcast is about going all in. It means like this place in your life where you fully surrender to the call of God, the kingdom assignment or assignments on your life. Like you are fully surrendered to the agenda, the kingdom agenda that God has for your life. I mean, in my life, right? That really happened in 2004. Now, I surrendered my life to God and to this process of discovering my purpose and discovering my role in the Father's business and what I was here on the planet to do, meaning what part was I going to play in the expansion of Jesus's government on the earth, which, by the way, the kingdom of God is the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ. It is the expansion of his government, right? And of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. The kingdom is a constantly expanding reality that it hasn't already invaded earth, right? I mean, when Jesus started his earthly ministry, he said, repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom was at hand, meaning the time of the kingdom has arrived. Why? Because Jesus came on the scene and he taught over and over about the kingdom of God. And he gave all these parables and all these examples about what life in the kingdom was like. You know, he talked about, you know, the sower sows the word, that the kingdom works with words. You know, he talked about just all kinds of principles of the kingdom. You know, he told his disciples to go out and preach the same message, that the kingdom of God is at hand. And he told them, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out devils, right? He said, freely you have received, freely give. And so he was talking about this supernatural reality, the kingdom of heaven having arrived on earth. And so when Matthew 6 talks about seeking first the kingdom, it's saying live from heaven's reality every single day and seek the priority of what it is that the Father is up to. What specifically is the Father wanting to accomplish in your life? What works? When I say works, I mean supernatural works. I mean kingdom assignments. What works are you here to fulfill? You know, I'm going to go over to another scripture that's just coming to mind really quick, and it's in John 17. Let's go over here because this is Jesus at the end of your life, at the end of his life, rather. And it says this. It says, I'll just start reading in verse 1 because it'll lead up to it. It says, Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes towards heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. In verse 3, he says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And this is where I wanted to go. In verse 4, it says, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Okay, so when I talk about going all in, I'm talking about making it a priority to really understand what is the work, what is the assignment, what is the call of God, what is it that you are here on the planet to do through union with God, the same way that Jesus accomplished his work, his purpose, his assignment. What is it that you're here to do? And so for me, you know, I surrendered my life when I was 33 years old. But it took several years for me to really unpack and discover, like, what is the assignment that you have for me? What is it that I'm called to do? And so eventually I figured it out. I mean, I didn't have Emerge. In fact, the reason I do Emerge is because I walk you through the process in Emerge that helps you discover your purpose through intimacy with God, because that was the process that I walked through. But really in 2004, when I left my corporate assignment And I did not really even know what the plan was. I just knew God said, step in, step out, right? And then he gave me the plan step by step, which ended up going, you know, I went to work with Bill Winston for many years, and then I moved to Colorado, and then we moved back to Chicago, meaning I have been following the Father step by step into the fullness of the plan and the purpose that he has for my life now for 20 years. And obviously doing this podcast is a part of the work that I'm here to do, but each of us has work. We are to seek the kingdom work, the kingdom assignments that God has for us. You know, our life is not our own. We've been bought with a price. We've been paid for with a preciousness. And our reasonable service is to yield our body as a living sacrifice and to give Jesus our bodies to be used as an expression that reveals the glory of God. You know, Jesus said, I have revealed your glory. And each of us is a revelation of the glory of God. Okay, now I want to go over to Ephesians 2:10, but here's Jesus saying, like, I finished the assignments. I finished the things that you gave me to do. And so part of going all in and part of not having a plan B and part of seeking first the kingdom is getting clear about what is the assignment? What is the vision? What is it that I'm here on the planet to do? And I want to go now over to Ephesians 2:10, and I want to go in the Amplified Classic Version. This is a scripture that I talk about a lot, but it feels like it fits so seamlessly into what I'm talking about today that I wanted to bring it up again. Here's what it says in Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works. There's that word work again, which God predestined. It says planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, meaning before time began, okay? It says that we should walk in them, living the good life, the kingdom life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. I mean, there is so much in this scripture. You guys, I've really been meditating and just chewing on this scripture for many, many, many years. In fact, I remember way back when I was on staff with Bill Winston, and he would do these amazing teachings about living outside of time and dominating time that were all out of this Ephesians 2:10 scripture. And the idea is that we were God's idea. In Ephesians 1, right, it says that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. In Revelation 13:8, it says that Jesus, the Lamb, was slain before the foundation of the world. And so there was a lot going on before the fall. There was a lot going on before Genesis, before God said, let there be light. Like before creation, God knew us. He chose us to be in Christ. From God's perspective, you know, Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. We were in Christ, meaning we were co-crucified before the foundation of the world. And before the foundation of the world, God knew you. And he planned a good life for you before the foundation of the world. He planned your part in his kingdom expansion project, in his earth looking like heaven project. And there were works that he planned for you to do. There were assignments that he planned for you to do. And these are supernatural exploits, right? When God said he rested on the seventh day from all his work, well, he rested from creating heaven on earth. And so from the very beginning, God has known you. I mean, in Acts, it talks about how he, you know, sets the boundaries and the times of where it, and the actual places where we live. Like, it's not an accident that you were born in the year that you were born to the parents that you were born to, regardless of the circumstances, right? I mean, I was, you know, conceived out of wedlock. I was adopted. Like, there was a lot of drama, excitement around my conception and my birth. I mean, no, you know, that, but there's lots of precedent for that in scripture. I mean, Moses, right? Same thing, given away, you know, and raised by, you know, Egyptians when, you know, he had a Hebrew birth. Esther, right? She also was an orphan. I mean, so it's not about who your birth parents are. It's about who your heavenly parents are, because your heavenly parents have known about you. They planned for you. They planned for your new birth. They planned for your existence here on the planet, and they planned works and assignments and a role that you would have in the kingdom expansion of heaven on earth. And it says here that they didn't just plan these good works, but they planned paths, that they actually prepared timelines that you would walk in, that you would manifest, and that you would walk in the plan and the purpose that God had and live the good life, the abundant life that God prearranged for you to live. Like this, you were prearranged for. It's kind of like parents who plan for their baby and they create a nursery and they create a college fund and all of these things. Well, God placed you in Christ and then put all of the provision that you were going to need for your kingdom assignment in the very kingdom. And then he placed it inside of you and said that what you need is in you. And first and foremost, what I really want to talk about today as we wrap things up, I really wanted to make things a little more practical, is I wanted to say that your vision, your assignment, your dreams, the things that God has placed for you to do have been placed inside of you. They exist in your heart. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And so eternity has been planted in your heart. And so there is a vision, there is a plan, there is a destiny that God has for you. And I also want to say that there's opposition. There's opposition to that plan. There's opposition to that purpose. There's opposition to heaven manifesting on earth. There's opposition to the supernatural. I mean, whether it was, you know, Pharaoh coming and slaying all of the firstborn, children, not Pharaoh, sorry. When Jesus was born, right? How Rome came and Herod basically, you know, tried to kill all of the firstborn babies because they didn't want Jesus to go first. I mean, to come forth, right? I mean, there is opposition. Moses, you know, there was so much opposition. Pharaoh back and forth. I mean, there's opposition. Why? Because the kingdom operates is an invisible realm, and it is more powerful than the world system. The kingdom comes with power, and it's not of this world, but it is here to subdue the world. It is here to override the world systems. It's here to replace the world systems, dismantle the world system, and there is opposition to that. So we don't get surprised when we find ourselves in trials and tribulations that are in opposition to the plans and purposes of our life. In fact, those can be confirmation that you are powerful and that you are here to override the things that are opposing you, whether that be lack, whether that be sickness, whether that be relational discord and strife. I mean, regardless of what the contradiction is, there is the greater one is in you. And so God has plans. He's prepared paths. He's prearranged a life. There is a plan and a purpose for your life, but there's also opposition to it. And we see that over and over again in Jesus's ministry. We see that throughout scripture, that the opposition is to the plan and the purpose of God. But we also see when saints and when believers stood against the opposition, that Jesus supernaturally showed up, whether he was the fourth man in the fire, whether he was the angel of the Lord with Joshua saying, you know, Joshua saying, which side are you on? And he said, neither. I'm here on God's agenda. I mean, over and over again, we see the power of God to come through, and by faith, kingdoms have been subdued. By faith, you know, dead people have been raised from the dead. By faith, there have been exploit after exploit after exploit that people have accomplished because they were fully surrendered to God's plans and God's purposes. So first and foremost, going all in is about fully surrendering and really reorganizing. I mean, my entire life got reorganized when I left corporate around my kingdom purpose. I mean, where I lived, the house that I lived in, the street that I lived in. I mean, you know, I've been talking about that, you know, finally moving back to Chicago and getting the house that we're living now on Grace Avenue. I mean, even the streets that I lived on were hand selected by God. And so every detail of our life is covered when we're all in, when we are seeking first the kingdom. And again, it's not that it doesn't have opposition, but it has absolutely already been finished. It has already been provided. And just like the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, everything that you're here to accomplish, the vision that God has for your life, is already finished in the spirit realm. The question is, are we connected to what is finished? And are we living from the place that it is finished? Are we governing from heaven's perspective, or are we living trapped in time? Are we living according to the flesh? And when I say the flesh, I just mean the natural man. I mean the unrenewed mind. I mean our physical senses. Or are we operating outside of time with spiritual vision, connected to the plans and the purposes of God, and partnering with God to co-create and manifest His will on earth? Now, I want to talk about the power of a written vision today. But before I go into that, I've shared it before on the podcast, but I feel led right this moment to just pause. Because when I was called to move out to Colorado, and the Lord was really making it very clear to me what the call of God was on my life, I had a series of open visions. And even to this day, like, I go back and I meditate on those visions. I remember those visions. It's kind of like the Apostle Paul when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he was, you know, standing before King Agrippa and said, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly visions that I received on, you know, he was referring to the road to Damascus. I mean, that was a powerful experience in his life that changed the trajectory of his life. And encounters with God are just not optional. And for me, I mean, they're not always open visions. Very few of my encounters have been open visions. But for the most part, the internal visions that we have, frankly, are many times more important than even an open vision, because it requires faith. It requires us to operate in the unseen. But I felt led to just go back to that open vision that I had today, because I feel like there's some keys here, specifically about going all in. And so in that vision, there was a lot that happened. Number one, God showed me really the impact that I was to have on people's lives and the condition that of people's lives that they were in. And He absolutely made it clear to me that I had an assignment. In fact, the assignment was represented by a bag of grain. And it was very clear that He said, do not drop the bag. Like, as soon as you drop the bag, like, it will stop multiplying. But if you hold on to that bag and you continue to feed the people that I've called you to feed, then that you will never run out. This is supernatural grain. It is supernatural provision. These are words of life. These are words that will bring people into purpose, into life. It will cause them to be whole. And so it was this call, this kind of imagery around the call of God in my life. But what I really wanted to hone in today is that He asked me, He said, will you go? Will you say yes? And in that moment, it was like just a no-brainer. It was like, of course, yes, I will go. And what was significant, really, I didn't grab it at the moment, but I can say all these years later that saying yes to the call of God on my life, saying yes to my kingdom assignment, was a choice. And it was a choice for me to seek and me to make the kingdom and what God had planned for my life my priority. And so when I said yes, something really powerful happened. There were some angels that appeared over to my left, and they were in a little group, and they were really like kind of, what would I say? I could see through them. It's like they were coming in and out of my vision. It's almost like they were materializing and dematerializing, and they were moving so fast. It was like, you know, it felt like the speed of light, honestly. I don't know how I knew that, just by the spirit. But the guy in the middle, the angel in the middle, had like a little flip pad. And he was more like staticky. I could see him. He wasn't going in and out. I could see him more clearly. And he was writing down the date and the time of my yes. And I have learned since then that our yes is really, really powerful. Our yes and our amen is our agreement. It is what opens the channel for the will of God to flow into the earth. Yes, our agreement is that powerful. Why? Because the will of God is not automatic. You know what? I mean, I tell people this, and sometimes they're just so floored or, you know, freaked out when I say this, but God is not in control. I mean, God is in control to the extent that human beings are under His control, right? The body of Christ is to be yielded to the head, but that is not an automatic thing. Like, we have a a will to yield. I mean, even Jesus prayed the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane that God's will would be done, the Father's will be done, and not his own. He says in John 5:30 that, you know what, I don't seek my own will, but the will of the one that sent me. So Jesus had the ability to not follow God. In fact, he was the undoing of Adam, because when he faced the temptations in the wilderness, he submitted to God. He did not operate out of sense knowledge. He did not partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He stayed in union with God and stayed in his true identity. And he did not allow any accusation against him or the Father to stand, unlike Adam and Eve. So he was the last Adam. But be clear that God in his sovereignty, in his ultimate control, gave the earth to men. I mean, he released authority to Adam and Eve. And he did not control their choice in the garden. And he's not, you know, quote unquote, controlling our choices today. So this yielding and this yes is really, really powerful. And so, you know, this angel's there recording my yes. And at that very moment that I said yes, I saw these, like, it was like a highway of angels ascending and descending, kind of reminding me of Jacob's ladder. And I knew by the Spirit that the angels were going to arrange anything and everything that was ever going to be required for my yes, right? So as long as I was on assignment, as long as I'm seeking first the kingdom, as long as that I was yielded to God, then guess what? Life was supernatural. Like the things that were required for me to fulfill and finish the work that God was going to, has called me to do, were absolutely already been arranged. They were already provided. The paths that I would take had already been laid out. You know, there was another aspect to that vision that I've seen, that I saw, that was also really powerful. And it was this vision of an automatic door, like the ones that are, you know, at a grocery store, or at, you know, Walmart or Target or whatever. And the thing about it is the door doesn't open, like when you're walking towards the automatic door, until you get right up to the door, like the sensor senses you and then opens the door. And what the Lord said to me is that the seen realm is like that automatic door, that it will adjust, it will move according to your movement. So he was talking about the importance of taking steps of faith and moving in the unseen towards the vision, towards the goal, moving into the assignment that I was given. When many times there's just no natural evidence or any way in the natural that it looks like it's going to happen. And I can tell you with the, you know, just the battle that I've gone through, even just in possessing the house and getting, you know, this house into our name over the last, I mean, that's really been this project for this year, which just finished up a couple of weeks ago. I'm telling you, it was a battle. And I had to stay the course and hold on to the vision, hold on to the plan that God had for my life. Which brings me to the importance that I really, really wanted to cover today of a written vision, of our focus, of our ability to partner with God to manifest his kingdom purposes and stay the course and receive the provisions that he has for us as we are pursuing our purpose and seeking the kingdom. You know, a written vision is really, really powerful. You know, in Habakkuk, I think it's really, I just wrote this in my journal recently because the Lord was reminding me the importance of a written vision. And let me just read this to you. It's in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And I'm just going to read this. It says, I will stand upon my watch and affirm my foot upon the fortress, and I will watch to see what he will say in me and what I shall answer to my question. I don't even know what version this is, you guys, but anyway, it's Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3. In verse 2, it says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but in the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. Wait for it. So, you know, there's a couple of things I want to say about this scripture. Number one, it's interesting because Habakkuk doesn't say, I will get upon my watch and I will listen to hear what God will say. He says, I will watch to see what he will say, meaning that Habakkuk was both listening and looking to see what God would say. So yes, there's hearing, but there's also seeing. And so vision and listening for God and downloading this vision from God to get the answers that he has for the purpose for your life is a really important key. Because if God has a plan and God has works that we're here to do and God has a path that he wants you to take, like, vision is really, really important. What is the goal? What is the outcome? What is the purpose that we are going for? I mean, Jesus said for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. I mean, his work, his assignment was to redeem mankind by dying as mankind. And so the end of Jesus's mission was to glorify the Father every day of his earthly ministry, but ultimately through the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection and the ascension. And so Jesus, he had the end in mind. I mean, I believe, you know, Jesus would walk through the crowds and they were not able to kill him. They tried to throw him off the side of a mountain and they wouldn't be able to do so. They tried to crown him king. They couldn't do that. Why? He would become almost invisible. I mean, I guess he would be invisible. He'd just go through the crowds. Why? He could not be, his kingdom purpose was not going to be thwarted. And I'm saying that because your purpose and your vision is what keeps you enduring through the persecution and through the difficulties that you're going through. And the power of writing it down cannot be underestimated. Number one, it's so that you can read, so you can run with it, so that you can stay focused. And I mean, yes, the vision for your life, but I also mean the vision for September. I mean, the vision for this year. I mean, the vision for your family, the vision for your children. I mean, writing down the vision is very, very powerful. In fact, years ago, and this is one thing that I wanted to share with you, this episode is something that God spoke to me years ago. And he said this: a written vision is concrete evidence in the natural of something that already exists as finished in the spirit. And I wrote, the very act of writing it down is the first phase of its manifestation. So getting the vision, right? Seeing and hearing what God is saying about whatever circumstance you find yourself in, about the vision for your life, about what it is that you're called to do, is so, so very powerful. Because I remember Stephen Covey said, begin with the end in mind. But you know what? That really wasn't Stephen Covey. That was God. God sees the end from the beginning. He is a God that begins with the end in mind. The lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. I mean, the vision for your life. You know, in Psalm 139, can't remember what scripture, and I don't want to look at it right this moment, but it says, you know, that all the days of our lives have been written in his book before any of them took shape. I mean, there is a vision for whatever you find yourself in. There are instructions for whatever you find yourself facing. There is a kingdom assignment for your life. The question is, are we synchronized with God's plans and God's purposes? Do we have his heart on the matter? Do we have the vision and the assignment? And do we understand what God is asking us to do? It's very difficult to be led by the Spirit if you don't have the instructions. And so a vision, I mean, whether it was, you know, Noah downloading the plan for the ark, or Moses getting the instructions for the tabernacle, right? Or Jesus knowing what he would do when it was time to feed the multitude. And he was asking his disciples, you know, where feed the multitude? And, you know, and where will we get so much bread? You know, where will we get so much food to feed the multitude? And it said Jesus knew what he would do. I mean, there is an instruction. There is a vision. And so first and foremost, we need to get it. But there is something very, very powerful about a written vision, because this is one of the reasons why we should write down our dreams, because as human beings, they're like vapor. They just disappear and we can forget. We can forget the purpose. We can forget the vision. We can forget the thing that God is wanting to co-create and co-manifest with us. And it's fun. It is fun to co-create. And I'm not saying it's always easy. I'm not saying that there's not a battle, but it's fun when you get on the other side of it and it's, whoa, you know, it shows up and the manifestation shows up. And so a written vision is so key. In fact, in my book, if you've not read The Path to Purpose, the fourth cue, right? Where am I headed? The chapter in that book is all about, you know, writing a vision and creating a vision for your life and a life purpose board. And there's some really great exercises in that. But, you know, it's also a huge part of the work that we do at Emerge. Like, what is the vision for your life? And is it written down? Is it somewhere that we can see it so that we can run with it, so that we can focus on it when the contradictions come? You know, when I was standing for this house, I mean, God had been speaking to me about this house. I mean, we walked into this house. It was a fully furnished house, you guys, and it looked exactly like my Pinterest board. It looked internally like the house that I had been dreaming about for years. Now, mind you, I had left houses, brethren, lands, all of those things. I had, you know, left it all back in 2004 when I sold my condo. I had been kind of a wanderer, you know, renting in all these various locations as God just kept moving us from place to place as we lived in Colorado. And then moved us back here to Chicago. But it was very clear. God had a vision for my family and a vision for me to have a home as a part of our inheritance. In fact, when I had my babies and I was standing, you know, after serial miscarriages to have children, the scripture that God gave me was He makes the barren woman to be the joyful mother of children and keep house. And so there was a second part of the fulfillment of that scripture. It wasn't just about having children. It was also about keeping house and having a home and also having to really work through the things in my heart that said, you know what? I don't deserve a home. Well, that's just extravagant. And all of these things that were taught in the world, like I, you know, overcoming barrenness, like there was a promise and a vision that God's breathed into my heart about motherhood and about owning a home. And so, you know, when it was time to possess that here, then it was just a total setup, a divine setup. I mean, it looked impossible in the natural. And it was year. I mean, we've lived here for 3 years and we just finally really took possession of the home. And so it was a process of God walking us through the vision. And when it got really serious, when, you know, it turned in January and I really had until August to get this thing done, I'll tell you, I got serious about writing the vision. And in my windowsill here, I had all of it laid out, the things that I needed to do to, you know, apply and get everything in order in our finances to be able to qualify. And I mean, I began to speak to it and I began to stand for it. And it was a fight of faith, you guys. I mean, it was literally just an incredible battle that lasted for months. But on the other side of that, I just felt like I was supposed to chat with you guys tonight about the power of a written vision, primarily because it helps you focus. And it is the first phase of manifestation because it is going from something that is in the spirit, meaning it's just an idea, it's just a word from God, it's just a prophecy, into the natural realm because it is now in the 3D realm because you've written it down on paper. The words are on paper now, and there is a physical, there's tangible physical evidence that that vision is real and that vision is concrete, even though in the scene, it's not fully manifested yet. And so I just wanted to encourage you guys today to write the vision, go all in for whatever the vision is that God is calling you to do. If you're called to be an author, write the vision for the book. If you're called to be a business owner, write the vision for your business. If you are called to be a mother and you don't have children, write the vision for that. Write the vision for the dreams and the things that God has put into your heart. Write it down and then focus on it. Focus on it because where our focus goes, energy flows. And quantum principles and quantum science say that human observation collapses something that is invisible into matter. Something, it goes from wave to matter. It's called the collapse of the wave. And human observation, it's being proven in quantum physics that our focus and where our energy goes, that causes the collapse of matter. The collapse of the wave into matter. And this, you know, if you want to go look at the observer effect, if you want to go look at the double slit experiment, if you want to Google that on YouTube, you can go find out more about how science is now agreeing with scripture, that our eyes of faith, that what we see in the spirit as we focus on it and we yield our eyes to God and we step into union and give God our faculties. And we say, observe, this is finished through us, God. Speak it into existence through us, God. And we put our full focus on that vision. We go all in on the vision that God has for our lives. Well, Matthew 6:33 says, guess what? That all of these other things will be added unto you. These are kingdom visions I'm talking about. These are kingdom assignments. These are the will of God for your life. And they will feel like giants many times. They will feel like impossible things. I mean, over and over again, God has told me to do things that I couldn't afford in the natural. But then he would give me a strategy because he would give me the vision. I mean, I had a vision for the Emerge School of Transformation. I had a vision for Elevate. I've had a vision for all of the things that I've called to do, a vision to be an author, a vision for the ministry that God has given me. It's very unique, you guys. I mean, Rethink is, it's not, this is not a typical, you know, ministry that you see out there. I mean, it was a very different vision that I had to download from God. You know, it's a for profit. It's, you know, I mean, granted, we, you know, I have Shalisa's Ministries, and I mean, the podcast is donor supported, and we have monthly partners, and we have, you know, more traditional ministry things. But the majority of what I'm doing is in a school. It's in a school format. He was very specific to me and said, you know what, a church paradigm and a just a nonprofit paradigm is not going to be able to contain the vision that I have for your life. He said, the kingdom is not nonprofit. It's fine to structure things in for-profit or nonprofit. You know, it's IRS things. It's natural things. He said, but the kingdom itself is a profitable place. It's expanding. It's an increased place. The blessing of God is an increase. It's an increased government. It's an increased reality. And so I say all of that to say, boy, our focus gets under attack, right? Distractions, the cares of this world, you know, bills, just all kinds of things come in to steal our focus. And, but we, focus is so, so very key, right? It is all about seeking, meaning focus, be aware of the kingdom, be aware of what God is asking you to do, what God has called you to do, what the assignment is. You know, over and over again, I've had assignments. And when I was leaving, Chicago to go to Colorado, I remember my assignment was shifting and it was very confusing. It can be confusing when your assignment is shifting. And God said to me very clearly one day, he said, well, what does it mean when you are not doing your assignments in school? Like, what is that? And I said, well, that would be failing. He said, yeah. And he said, what is it when you are doing other people's assignments? And I said, well, I guess that would be cheating. And he was like, yep. And he said, you're doing both. You are not doing the assignment that I have for you, and you're actually in somebody else's assignment. So you need to move. You need to leave. You need to follow me, and you need to do what I'm asking you to do, because you're holding things up, girl. And so, you know, this is a very real thing. Like, you have assignments. God knows your assignments. They've been planned before the foundation of the world. And the most powerful thing in the world is knowing your purpose, knowing your assignment, staying on God's agenda. And when you get God's agenda and you get the vision for your purpose and your assignment, well, write it down and begin to partner with God to focus on it and take steps towards it, right? The seen realm will bow to your movement. I mean, I did a lot of things when we were standing for this house that were just, you know, just acts of faith. From, you know, I anointed the whole house. I actually bought a bottle of champagne way before we closed on it, just ready to pop that thing open when we closed. I mean, I was doing things. I was, you know, investing in, you know, projects around the house that you would, you know, it'd just be a waste of money if you were not going to get the house. I mean, so I was letting my actions follow the vision, and my focus had to be crystal, because there was a lot of opposition. So as we wrap this series of going all in, I mean, I've covered so much ground in this series, you guys. It's worth just going back in the beginning and listening through it, listening to the word of the month in the middle of it, because this is a very powerful supernatural principle that I'm talking about. That when we go all in and we seek first the kingdom and we surrender to the call of God on our lives and whatever his agenda is in our circumstances, okay, it's not just the big picture, it's the day-to-day picture as well. But when I fully surrender to what he's doing and what he's asking me to do, well, guess what? It's all provided supernaturally. It's already all been provided. And as we continue to take those steps, those spirit-led steps that God is leading us into, well, and we stand for the vision that God has for us and we refuse to bow and we just give him our yes, well, then the kingdom shows up time and time again and overrides all of the other things. So God bless you guys. I hope you've enjoyed this series. Love to hear your comments in the chat here in the Path to Purpose group. I always go and read them. So if you've got questions or whatever, I'll definitely respond there. And if you're just listening to this on the podcast, well, Regardless, you guys, write the vision and make it plain. It's the first phase, the first step in the manifestation. And I and the Father and the whole Trinity, right? All of us are desiring that you finish strong, that you fight the good fight of faith, that you come to the place at the, you know, where you can say, like Jesus did, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. I have glorified you here on earth, Father, and I have finished the work that you've given me to do. All right, you guys, that's it for this time. I'm out of time, but I love you. And I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this one. And next week, we'll start a new series. All right, God bless. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalisa.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalisa.com and watch Shalisa's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.